I got a question for you. How many have ever stubbed and slammed your toe into something in the middle of the night? Now, this is probably the most profound question you're going to get all day, but how many? Man, I mean really slammed. Have you ever broken a toe doing that? So let's see a chart of what do you yell when you stub your toe? Oh, I can't read that. Oh, a little tiny segment goes, ouch. So what is it that you yell? At that moment, do you remember that you have the mind of Christ? Here's an answer for it. Here's one answer, at least, for how to handle this. Those are hard hats for big toes. What you wear is absolutely crucial. The right shoes for the right occasions. You got wingtips over there, or maybe you're in construction. You know, you can find a myriad of shoes online if you're construction, steel-toed boots. And how many know what's up at the top left? What are those? Air Jordans? Those aren't Air Jordans, but those are the, what are they?
Top right.
Yeah, top right, I'm sorry. Challenged here this morning. Top right. Yeah, that's right. They're Nikes. All right. And down below, see now over there, we used to call those, what do we call those? Saddle shoes. Saddle shoes. But I love those two tones. Give me the blacks and whites and the brown and whites. Any day. I love that. And then, of course, the middle section are what?
Cowboy
boots. You know why? Somebody told me one time why they put the tips on the cowboy boots. You know that, right? To kill the cockroaches over in the corner. If you're, yeah. Anyway, so then, now down at the bottom, see the one in the middle at the bottom? Okay, well, stand up. The one at the bottom is a $38,000 pair of shoes from Torsini in Italy. And then, of course, the bottom right, I know my directions now, the bottom right, those are fireman shoes and boots. You know, everybody, you know, there's soccer, there's golf, there's all sorts of things for a special occasion. How many different kinds of shoes do you have? Come on, think of it. Yeah, how many have golf shoes? Golf shoes. All right, golf shoes. How many have tennis shoes? How many have dress shoes? How many have thongs or you know, what we used to, sandals, yeah, yeah, right, okay. How many have Birkenstocks? You're in the right area. There you go, right area for Birkenstocks. Oh, let's go to the next one here. Now, ladies, you want to know some expensive shoes? Top left, $400,000 pair of shoes. Individual diamonds, made special. Top right, That's a replacement. That's full of rubies and diamonds, and it is for the Wizard of Oz. And that is a $3 million pair of shoes. But how would you like the one at the bottom? In Dubai, $17 million. I wouldn't be caught dead. Oh, I probably would be dead in a pair of shoes like that, but... Yeah, my toes are dirty. Yeah, they're gold and diamond. Gold and diamond. You know, some people just have way too much money. Historians discovered shoes all the way back to 40 to 50,000 years ago. It's probably when we first began to wear shoes. I had a picture on here, but I didn't choose to put it on here. It was like a potato sack looking thing that was discovered in a cave of Armenia at least 5,000 years old. Still had some leather kind of lacing in it and a bunch of straw inside, and they discovered those there. But why do we choose the right shoes? Why do we choose the right shoes? Because the wrong shoes hurt. Why else, Chris? What was that? Right. That's right. That's right. What is it? Helps us do the specific task we need to do with them. There's a specific reason why we wear the right shoes. And Paul talks about our spiritual armor. As we take a look at the right shoes, and those are the, what are those? Those are Air Jordans. You can find Air Jordans for $50,000 to $110,000. But anyway, the right shoes, Paul gives us, let's go on to the next one, our spiritual armor, Ephesians 6, 13 through 15. If you'll refer to that, or you just simply make that note, look at it later on your own, your tablet, your phone, whatever you might have. If you need a Bible, there are Bibles in the very back this morning, and someone would be happy to get you one. But out of this section, Paul tells us to put on the what? The whole armor of God. I've taught a series on this, and this is crucial. And we see this verse 13 here that says, therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything, say it with me real loud, please, to stand firm. There's a whole meaning behind that, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But what does it mean to put on the spiritual armor? And then he talks through, beginning with, gird or fasten, the Greek says, fasten on the belt of truth. Of truth. John 14, verse 8, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 17, 17, thy word is truth. If it comes down to a contest between what the latest mores have to say or what somebody wants to shove down your throat nowadays with philosophies and beliefs, this is the truth. It's no contest. His word, thy word is truth. Now, we don't always understand it. Here in this church, we do our best to get as close to him as we possibly can, and we do our best to walk as closely to him as we possibly can. So the interpretation we'll take for Scripture, if there's a misunderstanding, is whatever direction in that Scripture that will help us be as close to Jesus as possible. How many want to get as close to Jesus as you possibly can? And Pastor Sherry, your favorite verse is? And that's why she's got that glint in her eye, right? I get as close to it as I can. Thy word is truth. Guys, what you believe determines how you live. What you believe leads to what you do. Truth in your heart, in your mind, is absolutely vital. And Paul is saying, I want you to stand. Having done all, put on the armor, and then I want you to stand. Now, there are times when the enemy comes against us, you need to knock the enemy back. You need to be on the advance all the time. But there are times when you're under an onslaught of attack, you just need to stand strong. Amen? You just need to stand up and say, get out in Jesus' name to the devil. And realize that God has put his truth in your heart and you're going to stand against the accusation. What does that kind of accusation sound like? Well, you jerk, remember when you did this? This is in your past. You were awful. You were horrible. And you can say, I'm under the blood of Jesus. Have no idea what you're talking about anymore. Because Jesus has set me free. But embrace truth. Fasten on, it says in the Greek. Fasten that belt of truth on you. Hold on to the Bible. Hide it in your heart. Hide it in your mind. Embrace it. Stand on it. Truth is not casual to Jesus. Say amen or oh no. Amen. Truth is not casual to Jesus. It is not your truth versus my truth. It's his truth. Now we speak the truth, the Bible tells us, in love. Lots of Christians are door closers. They want you to know and you better get it, etc. And we want to be a door opener. But we speak the truth in love. It's not casual. His word isn't full of suggestions. His word is truth. Lord, write your word, the Bible says, on my heart and on my mind, so that I might tuck this word in my heart and not sin against you. Truth. Number two, the breastplate of righteousness. There's a breastplate that they put around them to protect the internal organs. And this is a breastplate of righteousness. How many thank God that Jesus saved you and washed you clean by his blood? How many thank God that you're now righteous? I should hear a whole bunch of shouts saying, oh, yeah, man, I'm so glad. Yeah, but don't you remember that old song? You all feel like singing an old song this morning? I'm so glad my Jesus set me free. Oh, I'm so glad that my Jesus set me free. Oh, I'm so glad my Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah, my Jesus set me free. Well, now old Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Those of you who are younger are sitting and you're looking at me going, now I know why that's an old song. But the reality is, Jesus set us free. Where does the righteousness come from? Now, we can do all we can do. You guys, I grew up in a Christian home. My grandfather was a preacher. I never knew him. He died before I was born. But what that meant is my mom was this strange, unique creature. She was a preacher's kid. That meant we went to church every Sunday, and I couldn't stand it. I didn't get the Bible. I just had to go to church. But when I gave my life to Jesus, it all made a difference. And all of a sudden, the Bible started making sense, and this whole business about Jesus shedding his blood on the cross for me made sense. And because he washed me clean, he put his righteousness inside. Aren't you glad he took your unrighteousness on the cross and he put his righteousness in you? Aren't you glad that he died for you and me, he was buried, and he rose again? Wow! What a great God. Righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. But number three, specifically getting back to our topic, is on your feet, he says, put on the preparation of the gospel of peace. On your feet, 6:15 says, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It matters to Jesus what you're wearing. Take a look at your feet this morning. It matters to Jesus what you're wearing. And studying this message, I was reading this long article by this person who was very British. And he was condemning all Americans for not caring anymore about wearing the appropriate shoes on the right occasion. He went to a military type of school, and every night before he went to bed, they lined up all the guys at this guy school, and every single night, not only did they have to brush their teeth, they had to polish their shoes every single night, and they went right by the headmaster every night, had to show their shoes, and they couldn't hit the sack until it was all done right. And he was just chagrined about our horrible American ways that are so casual. But the point he was making was, there's a right shoe for the right occasion. And in the Bible, he's saying, put on the preparation of the gospel of peace as your shoes. You're his messenger. Suit up, shoe up, and go carry forth the good news to people that need him. What kind of shoes are you wearing this morning? We're going to talk about the Roman kind of sandals that they wore that led to Paul's sharing of this verse, gives a whole context for this verse. But we went through communion this morning. We experienced communion. Precious job, Pastor Sherry. And it was all about the intimacy that comes from Jesus. And we don't have sin that separates us anymore. We get to rejoice because we've got life in him. How many know that life that you've now received from Jesus isn't just for you? You're very quiet in here this morning. How many know you got life in Jesus to give away? Turn to each other and say, would you like some? There's no more division. No more division. It's all taken care of. Isaiah 52 verse 7 declares, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. When you go home today, when you walk in your neighborhood, when you walk in the store, when you see your family, when you see your friends, when you see people that don't know him, you've got beautiful feet because you bring the good news of Jesus to them. How come you're shining? Because I ate some great hash browns this morning. How come you're shining? Because Jesus is in my heart and I've been able to worship him. He set me free. And you know what? He can do that for you too. Maybe you've got a burden. Let me help you and pray for you. I bring good news. By the way, the Bible calls the gospel what? Good news. Come on, everybody say that with me. Good news. Not bad news. The gospel is the good news. Romans 10:15 says, how beautiful, quotes that verse from Isaiah, are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good news. Where you go, you bring hope, you bring help, you bring Jesus. And you bear them on the shoes of the gospel, the preparation of the gospel of peace. Isn't that good news? So why are your shoes important? Number one, for comfort. You said it. For comfort. Can you imagine walking out in the cold, barefoot all around here? Man, I was in 1971. It takes me back. I went to WSU. I went to Pullman in 1971. Pullman has very bad winters, usually for about 3 weeks. Three really hot weeks in the summer, three really bad weeks in the winter. And boy, it'll get cold in Pullman. It'll snow. It'll get icy. And I remember as a freshman being very impressed by a young man who was a student who had come over from Hawaii. Clearly Hawaiian. And it was snowing out. And I got myself all bundled up in my coat. I got my boots on. I am warm, toasty, like a bug in a rug. I'm doing great. And I go up to the library, and there's this Hawaiian student in t-shirt, shorts, and barefoot. And I saw him that way every single day. Like that. And his reason was, it doesn't matter. You can't catch a cold by not bundling up. You can't catch a cold. All of a sudden, I didn't see that guy anymore. I didn't find out till years later they packed him home with very bad pneumonia because he didn't bundle up right. He didn't wear the right shoes for the right situation. And Jesus has given the right shoes to us to bring him to the world. The right shoes for comfort. You know, there are rocks, there are stones, there are things in the way, jagged edges. There are tables, corner tops of tables and corners to run into in the middle of the night to test your Christianity. Jesus wants you to have his peace. For comfort, we wear shoes. Secondly, for protection. Go, Pastor Kim, why are we talking all about shoes this morning? Because it was important to Jesus and in the Word for you and me. Protection. There are lots of scorpions and snakes. There are bugs and germs and mud and dirt and animal offspringings. And you really don't want to walk into that stuff barefooted, do you? Now, come on. Okay, that's enough. All right, I'll leave it right there. In the Old Testament, as well as in the New, they would do foot washing. When you'd come to their door, servants or the host would bend down, help you remove those shoes that had been out on, or the sandals that had been in the dirt and the dust and the yuck, and wash your feet. Now, sometimes you and I think like Peter thinks, not me, you ain't washing my feet. But washing of feet was a real service. There's a spiritual application to foot washing. Sometimes, have you never done foot washing? Foot washing is an absolutely beautiful experience. If you have difficulty or ought in a relationship and you've tried to take care of it and you can't get the wall taken down between a brother or sister, offer to wash their feet. God will do something very special in you as well as in them. It's very biblical and beautiful. But God has provided for the cleansing not only of our feet, but of our heart and of our mind, and shoes of peace. But the other important reason why we wear shoes is number three, for traction. For traction. Now down here is a model of what Roman soldier sandals would look like. They were made out of leather, and they would have nails, if you will, in the very bottom of the shoe. Why? Because that soldier was in motion. That soldier could run fast and not trip and not be tracked or trapped by the jagged edges or the things that might come out of the ground at him or animals or whatever. In the Roman days, soldiers had these special shoes made of soft leather with these kind of soles that allowed them to march farther and faster than any other army ever known at that particular time had ever done. It gave them motion in battle. If they injured themselves, they could get away. If somebody was advancing on them, they could get away, or they could turn around and go advancing forward against that enemy, and he had traction. Or if he just needed to plain stand there with strength, he had traction. And Jesus says, you put on the gospel of peace as your shoes, and you've got the strength to stand against the enemy. There's a crucial reason why Paul includes the shoes in the armor. So let me ask you this morning, are you wearing the right shoes? So put your shoes on. Put your shoes on in faith. We're in this, guys. So we put on our armor, and it includes our shoes. And we've got the most important message people need, and we've got the strength and the shoes to walk forward toward them and lead this world to Jesus. How many of you want to lead people to Jesus? Lord, see our hands. God, we thank you for the grace and anointing. We want to lead people to Jesus all around us. We want to bring them the good news. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I was in Jamaica about 2 weeks ago. Told the guys about this yesterday. 20 years ago, 15 years ago, right up to about 4 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, my wife had been to Jamaica with her family many years ago, several times, went as a ministry team, 5 times to Jamaica, went as a ministry team, and had incredible times. They had incredible times as a family. And starting 20 years ago, 15 years ago, she started saying this, Kevin, no matter what, there's one place you got to go. You got to go to Ocho Rios, Jamaica. Everybody say, Ocho Rios. Just kind of feels nice to say that, you know, speaking in a foreign language. Ocho Rios. And specifically, how many have ever heard of Dunn's River Falls? Nobody. Okay, Dunn's River Falls. Dunn's River Falls is one of the most unique places in the world. Pastor Sherry?
All of you remember Dunn's River Falls because it was the background for the Timex commercial where they dropped the Timex into the falls, and they got back out, and it was still
ticking. Takes a lick at it, it keeps on ticking. Now, not that you'd want to raise your hand and admit to it, but Dr. No, James Bond, was filmed right here at this location of Dunn's River Falls. And there's a couple of other shows that have used it as well. But Dunn's River Falls is one of the most unique places in the world. Now it's kind of a tourist thing, but it goes up the equivalent of 180 feet or 18 stories over a distance of 600 feet. This is, it's absolutely gorgeous. It's beautiful. And we had this conference we went to, and we were not very far from Galveston, and we were with Sherry's daughter and son-in-law. And they said, well, why don't we catch a cruise from Galveston? So we went to Cozumel, we went to Cayman Islands, and we went to Ocho Rios. And I said, if there's one thing I want to do, I want to participate in what my wife says is incredible as this experience up Dunn's River Falls. And I'm here to tell you, it was a life-impacting experience. I absolutely loved it. The other thing I loved was going down those water tubes on the ship that went way out into the sea and you spin around and go back. I loved it. That was so fun. That was so fun. Anyway, but this was great. And there were teams of people that walk up, maybe 3-4 teams of people all at one particular time, and we got the guide that the Lord knew just what kind of guide I would love. This guy was a Jamaican yell leader. Anybody know what a yell leader is? I was one of those in high school and had a big old megaphone, still have it, and cheering the people on, right? I still do that today. Amen? Somebody say amen. Woo! Anyway, so he was that kind. He goes, we're going all the way. We're all shouting, we're going all the way. We're going down. And we were just shouting. And he was going, we're number one. We're number one, you know. And you got these little kids. You got these older people. And we're number one. We can make it. And then we start. And we wonder, we're number one. But it was really great. And there were only 3 ways you could make it up this falls. Now, beautifully, for me, all I do is sunburn, right? So this was under these gorgeous, huge trees. The entire 85-degree day outside, I didn't have to suffer for the Lord and get sunburned. So we're going up these gorgeous falls. And though it doesn't look like it necessarily, the water is rushing down, rushing down. Now, they go out as teams of people and wire brush these rocks, most of them or many of them, every single morning so they don't get too much moss on them. But there were 3 things that were very important. Number one, you had to follow the leader. You had to follow the leader. You have to follow your guide or you won't successfully make it up the Dunn's River Falls. How many know we need to follow Jesus, our leader? We need to follow the Holy Spirit. So, you got to follow the leader. Second instruction, you got to put your steps right where my steps have gone. You need to follow my steps. And guess what? Very spiritual, isn't it? You got to follow your leader, Jesus, and you got to follow the steps the Lord chose you to take. Because if you don't, you go right into the drink. There were several times, there's several pools along the way, or, you know, not man-made pools, but they were places where you could fall in and not be harmed. But listen, this is crucial, because he told us the story of somebody just that morning, a woman that morning, who misstepped, didn't follow, and she went all the way down the falls. They thought she was dead. So this was interesting, but life-changing. You get up part way, people are all tired. I'm looking around going, we're going all the way! But the third most important thing, third very important thing, is you need to build a chain. Chain up. Take the person's hand ahead of you. Take the person's hand behind you. And you can make it. Now I want you to look around this room at the people whose hand you have. Because God didn't make you and me to do this on our own. God intended for you and me to walk with Jesus and enjoy walking with Him together. Because we're better together. You can go so much farther with somebody else. And man, we're going up there. And if you're looking at the rushing water going by your feet, man, I remember a couple of times looking down like, oh, I don't want to look down too far. I'm going to keep looking up because it would sweep you right by. And there were a couple of times it got really tricky and the guide came running down to help us, and because he was up front and he came running down to help us, and one or two times he took me by the hand and picked me up and put me up there. And I went, whoa, thank God for a guide. And the young girl behind me, younger lady behind me, started to fall two or three times. And it was so cool because I grabbed her hand. I was holding it and I grabbed it tight and I said, it's okay, I got you. And she was really grateful. And a few times I helped her up and then I fell into the water. But it was nice and warm. It was like bath water, you know. It was okay. But follow the leader. Follow the steps and chain up. And this experience was probably once in a lifetime for me, unless I get a chance to go back and take you all with me. But this experience, which was incredible, I almost didn't get to have. You know why? Because I didn't have the right shoes. I forgot that I might need, walking on all these rocks, some aqua shoes or aqua socks. I remember her daughter and son-in-law turning to me going, well, you got the right shoes for this? I went, nope. They went, you don't have the right shoes? No condemnation. You don't have the right, what was that? What was that? Yeah, no shame, no condemnation. I'll remember to treat you this way. No, not really. No, we get along great. So I realized I don't have the right shoes. And I really want to go on this thing. So thankfully, the next morning, it was a great sale they had on aqua shoes on the cruise ship. Before we left, I went, now that's a good tourist trap right there. But I was able to get the right shoes. And I was able to take that trip, and it was so cool, man. You go up part way, and you look back down at the water goes all the way, empties straight out into the Caribbean on this beautiful white sandy beach, and you look back down, and you go, wow, I've come a long ways. Then you get all the way up to the top, and you've taken those steps, and you've followed the leader, and you've stepped in those places, and you got the right shoes on, and you go, I made it. I got where I was supposed to go. I didn't get there by myself, but I got where I was supposed to go. And then I looked down 18 stories, and I went, I'm not sure I would have made this on my own. And church, that's what the family of God is here for. You're here as part of a family. If you're a guest from somewhere else, you're always welcome here. Our friend Susan's been here for the last 3 weeks from California. Susan, you can fly back every Sunday. We'd love to see you. Or you can listen to us on gracechristiancenter.us. You know, your buddies there keep that going. But the family of God is what helps us get there. And you accomplish things that you never thought you could do, because somebody else is cheering you on. Aren't you glad that you're part of a family where people are cheering you on? The guide's cheering you. The guide was cheering. Yay. Oh, and it was so cool. We got to the top. There was this young kid who was obviously probably a Gen Z, or, you know, just a younger kid. And he'd probably been given trophies all his life and for participating. And he turned to me at the top. He was the cutest kid. Turned to me at the top. He goes, "Wow, we made it. We should get a certificate for this." And I said, "You know, we should, but it's here. We got it right in here, right? We should get a certificate." But I'll remember it forever. And I wouldn't have been able to do it if I didn't have the right shoes. So I urge you this morning, if you haven't given your life to Jesus, today's the day for you to not only let him take what grieves you, the sins that you've done, can forgive you and give mercy to you and put his righteousness inside. And you can begin to follow the leader and follow those steps. And if you're here this morning, you've already done that. Many of you have already done that. I just encourage you, as we're in this time, the Lord's teaching us about breaking the tape and leaning forward in life. And let's go. We got a destination, and we got Jesus to give away and people to reach. And we got places to go in the Lord that we never thought we could go. We can do it with him. We can do it with each other. And we can do it. But you got to have the right shoes. Stand with me, would you please? Musicians, would you come? You got to wear the right shoes. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Lord, this morning we thank you that we are part of a family of people that encourage each other on this journey. Lord, we want to make it all the way to the top. We want to make it all the way to the top. We want to do more than we ever thought we could do. And we know we can do that by helping each other in the body of Christ. Thank you, Jesus, that you're the one that cheers us on and that shines the way and shows us the way. You are worthy of all our praise. Lord, we thank you that we've had this opportunity to come together and worship you today. Lord, as we leave this place, we put on the right shoes and leave with your grace. We thank you, Lord, that you've called us on. And we get to help each other with this journey. We've got this chain of saints to help the person behind us, to help and hold on to the person ahead of us as we follow you. Oh, Lord, bless each one for taking time to be in the house of the Lord today. They might go from this place strengthened and encouraged, knowing that you are King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and you love them so much. In Jesus' name, they all said,
amen.
Raise your hand for the blessing, if you would, please. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Now bless each one, we pray, in the name of Jesus. And they all said,
amen.
Amen. Be released in the joy of the Lord.